Tell the person beside you, you're not going to like this message. Come on, tell the person on the other side, you're not going to like this message. Every person in this auditorium has struggled with pride. Every single one.
This is Straight Talk.
You are listening to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, here with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Today, Pastor Mark, our passage is Daniel chapter 4, and we get to look at a global leader, a person who had accomplished so much, who was in so much authority and power, and yet God uses him as an example to us all about humility.
Yeah, you know what? This is such a powerful imagery of God taking this pompous, over-the-top, powerful world leader, and in a moment, Joshua, just in a moment, in a second, humbling him so that he's like a wild animal who's lost his mind. I mean, God can humble us very quickly when we get puffed up in pride.
Yeah, it's neat to see him in control of whoever's in control, right? I mean, here's this Nebuchadnezzar ruling the world, conquering all these nations, and God's interested in his heart, and he's in control, even of this guy who's in control.
Yeah, and you know what? I've realized that at the core of a lot of our issues is this subtle, dangerous component that we call pride. I believe it was present when Lucifer fell as an angel that guarded the glory of God because of pride. I believe it was present in the Garden of Eden when the serpent tempted Eve and said, "You can be like God." And John tells us that, you know, it's the pride of life that is one of those major temptations in our life. And so this passage is really going to remind us, hey, do not get caught up in a cycle that leads you to pride, because if you do, God's going to have to humble you.
There's some great implications for those of us who aren't world leaders, right? Who are husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, coworkers. And as you take us in, Pastor Mark, thank you for this message. It's called Breaking the Cycle of Pride. We're in Daniel chapter 4. Let's get into this message.
Today, as I was praying for this service, I sensed especially that there would be a battle to receive the message I'm about to give you today. There are certain messages that hit at the core of who we are. I believe there's certain messages that can change our life if we respond to them and listen to the content. This is one of those messages that I felt like, God, there is a spiritual battle happening to be able to absorb and take this message. And some of you, you're going to point back to this message as a major breakthrough in your life. Because today I want to talk to you about breaking the cycle of pride. Tell the person beside you, you're not going to like this message. Come on, tell the person on the other side, you're not going to like this message. Every person in this auditorium has struggled with pride. Every single one. And if you say, Pastor, I never have, you're the most prideful of us all. So we know immediately that you struggled with pride. We all struggle with pride in one way or another. I think of my own life and I've struggled. God has had to humble me in different times and seasons of my life. And we struggle in big and small ways. I remember when I first got married to my beautiful bride many years ago. We were in our first year of marriage and my wife actually happened to sprain her ankle. And I was into fitness at the time, working out and so forth. And so we lived on a second floor apartment. And so she came back from the hospital with crutches, hobbling on her crutches. And at the bottom of the stairs, she said, "Well, I'm going to have to, can you help me up just with one crutch at a time?" I said, no, honey, I'm going to carry you. She said, "Oh, no, you can't carry me." I said, "I've been working out. I'm pretty strong. I think I can do it. Don't worry, hon, no problem." She said, "All right." I went and do this. So I squatted down. I said, "Just get on my back." So she got on my back. She put the crutches down. I went, I said, "Okay, now get off." And that was about the end of it. I had to help her up. You know, I had to deal with my pride. I told her I haven't been working my legs out that much. I'm gonna pump it up a little bit. But how many of you know there are a lot of ways of humbling us? We've all experienced those times where our pride gets in the way and we have to be humble. I don't know where your pride shows up, but it raises its nasty, ugly head at times when we're driving. Someone, you're waiting in that long line to get off the exit, and someone comes, doesn't wait in line, and tries to butt in. And you inch as close as you can to the other car, like, not in this line, not here, uh-uh. Maybe it shows up in your marriage. Well, you can't even remember what you were mad about 3 days ago, but you're still waiting for your spouse to apologize to you, and you're waiting for them to take the initiative. Maybe it shows up in your job, the competition that goes in at your job, and who sits where, and who has what office, or who has what title or what position. Maybe it shows up with your in-laws or extended family, but we all have those moments where our pride just flares up and we have to deal with it. Daniel chapter 4 is all about breaking the cycle of pride. The alternative title I had for this message is Bend or Break. Bend or Break. I'm convinced that the cycle of pride is set in motion when we start believing that you control your destiny, and ultimately that you deserve that which really belongs to God. We get delusional about who really rules the world and who should get the credit. And I think that some people that I'm speaking to today, you are already caught in a cycle of pride. You're already in its grip. You're already living in a prideful cycle. You find yourself stuck in that cycle, and it'll pull you further and further into it unless there's a major breaking and a major humbling of yourself before God that admits, God, I am in a cycle of pride. I repent it, and I break out of it. Daniel 4, I'm going to summarize a little bit the story of Daniel 4 because you're going to find in this chapter some insights into the cycle of pride and how to break out of it. If you remember, in Daniel chapter 1, we were introduced to an egocentric king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who had a dream that was interpreted by Daniel, the young prophet that was exiled out of Judea. Now in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar has a second dream. This dream bothers him, upsets him. It's one of those dreams that he wakes up and he vividly remembers this dream. I don't know about you, but there are sometimes like I really remember the dream, and there's sometimes I have no idea what I dreamed that night. How many of you remember your dream from last night? Anybody? How many of you have no idea? Yeah. But we all have those seasons where the dream is so real to us that it feels like, hey, you wake up, and if you were floating in the dream, you feel like, hey, I was flying. Or if you're falling off a building, your stomach goes up and you feel the feeling of falling off. Or if someone was chasing you and you were trying to holler and you didn't have a voice, you remember, you wake up and you realize, hey, the dream was really, really real. Nebuchadnezzar woke up with one of those sensations that I've just had a powerful dream, and I believe there's a message in this dream, and I need someone to interpret it. So he called together all of his counselors, his spiritual advisors, to see if they could interpret the dream that he had just had. And none of them could until Daniel walked in. Daniel came in and he heard the king's dream. And basically the king had a dream about a tree. And this tree grew big and flourished and had leaves and fruit, and animals came under the tree and fruit fell off the tree. And then there was a judgment pronounced about the tree, and the limbs of the tree were cut off and it was chopped down to the stump, and the animal scattered, and the fruit scattered, and there was a pronouncement that you will be in this state for 7 seasons, and a chain was put around the stump, and he woke up remembering that dream. And Daniel came to the great Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he said to him, I wish this dream were for your enemies, because God is warning you in this dream that unless you humble yourself and repent and acknowledge that heaven rules, that God is going to break you. He's going to take everything away from you in a moment. Everything will be scattered. And he's going to humble you for 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years, if you acknowledge that heaven rules, then God will restore everything he's taken from you. I pick up with my first point in understanding the cycle of pride and how to break it. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. The pride cycle is set in motion when we think we deserve that which ultimately belongs to God. Notice what it says in verse 28. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later. As the king was walking on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon, he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built as my royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? He had had the dream 12 months earlier. He had been warned by God, don't be proud or you will be broken. Sometimes when we're warned, we take the warning seriously, but after a while, we start taking it more lightly. How about it? You go to the doctor and he says, your cholesterol's high. Your heart is not very good. You really need to exercise, lose some weight, and start eating better. You go home and you're really serious about it. I got to avoid a heart attack. And so you clean out your pantry and you get rid of all your Doritos and all your pies and all your ice cream. And you're really serious about it for 2 weeks. And then you start slipping and you start eating a little bit. Nothing happens. You're feeling good. So you just let it slide a little bit more. And 6 months into it, you're back to your same eating habits. And you say to yourself, well, I'm feeling okay. Nothing's wrong with me. And so you start discarding the warning sign because it feels like everything is going okay. Let me tell you, when we're in a cycle of pride, God always warns us before judgment. But never mistake God's leniency and grace for forgetfulness, or as though he won't follow through on his judgment.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Breaking the Cycle of Pride, which is from our series called Allegiance, Kingdom Living in a Foreign Land. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message called Breaking the Cycle of Pride.
I believe that God warns us in advance, and he could warn us through scripture, through a message that you hear, through a friend that talks to you, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he warns you about your pride. He warns you, hey, you need to break the cycle. You need to humble yourself before God, or he's going to have to break you. And God will give us warning signs in advance. But if we don't listen to those warning signs, if we continue to harden our heart, listen to me well, a day will come where God will severely knock you down until you're willing to humble yourself before his mighty hand. He gives us mercy. He gives us a second and third and fourth chance. But don't mistake his grace for forgetfulness. Don't mistake God's mercy as though he's never going to follow through. Nebuchadnezzar had heard the warning in a dream from God 12 months earlier. But he had decided to neglect the dream. He'd forgotten about it. He'd grown careless about his heart before God. And it says that he was walking on the roof of his palace in Babylon. You know, it's a dangerous thing to walk on roofs. I think of King David was out on his roof looking over his kingdom, saw Bathsheba, and he fell into adultery with her, and it cost him a lot. Nebuchadnezzar is on the roof of his palace, observing all of that his hand has made. You see, the thing about high places is it gives you the vantage point. If you've ever been up to the Sears Tower, or if you've ever been up to the John Hancock and gone to the 75th or above, you look down from the windows to the city of Chicago, and it feels like this mighty kingdom, doesn't it? Skyscrapers and power and steel and metal. It feels like nothing could shake it. King Nebuchadnezzar got on the highest place, and he started to look over all that he had done. By the way, there are some pillars in the British Museum. There are six columns of writings recovered from Babylon, which describe the huge building projects of Nebuchadnezzar and the zeal to enlarge and beautify the city. If you go to this museum in England, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar's name is actually inscribed on these pillars, and it talks about how much work he did to make Babylon a great city. So he was into building his empire, building the city, making it the greatest city in the world. And as he looked out over his city, what was in his heart spilled out into his mouth. Here's the thing. The Bible says that whatever our heart is full of, eventually our mouth will speak. You may be able to clench your words, edit yourself, but sometime down the future, at the right moment, your heart is going to spill out and it's going to come in your words and it's going to overflow from your heart to your mouth, and everybody around you is going to be able to see what you're really thinking in your heart. King Nebuchadnezzar was proud. He said, as he walked on the roof of his house, hey, this is by my power. This is my mighty power that's achieved it. And it's for the glory of my majesty. Now you say, well, Pastor, how do I know if I'm proud? Because, you know, pride can camouflage itself. You can be a proud person and you camouflage it as spirituality. But really, inside, it's pride. You can be a proud person and camouflage it in hard work, but really inside it's pride. It's one of those things that when we have it, we don't recognize it. When other people have it, we see it right away. So here are some symptoms that may indicate you're proud. If you are unwilling to take advice, it could indicate pride. If you're not willing to apologize, it always has to be the other person. It could indicate pride. If you're self-centered in your view of life, that everything kind of revolves around you and what you want, your time, your schedule, your desires. If you don't recognize your mistakes, but are easily offended by other people's mistakes. When you always think that your way is the best, it could be an indication of pride. When you look down on other people often, criticize them, belittle them, judge their motives. When you always want to be the center of attention, it could indicate pride. When it's hard for you to follow leadership, could be an indication of pride. When you don't like to give credit to others, when you like the glory for yourself, and listen, here's a big one for believers. When you find it difficult to truly worship and praise God, it could be an indication of pride. You see, worship requires that you humble yourself before a being that's greater than you. Worship requires a little bit of your dignity to be lost. People, when they worshiped in the Old Testament, would throw themselves on the ground prostrate before God, or kneel, or raise their hands. Do you remember when David worshiped God before the ark? His wife, who was raised in royalty, looked at him and he said, "Oh, you've embarrassed yourself by how you worship." And David said, "Woman, you haven't seen anything yet. I will become even more undignified than this in my worship, because I'm not worshiping for other people to see me. I'm worshiping for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So I don't know how your struggle with pride is today, but here's what I do know, that all of us struggle with pride to one degree or another. C.S. Lewis said about pride, it's a spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense in our life. I'm talking about pride. You know, I look down my own journey and I realize that there's times in my life where God has had to humble me. When I would not humble myself, God has had to bring humility upon me. And one of the instances that comes clearly to my mind was when I first started pastoring the church. I was 21 years old. And here's the thing about youth. There's a lot of zeal, but if you're not careful, youth can become proud as well. When you're young, you think you know more than what you do. You think you can do more than what you can do. Anybody with a teenager in this house knows it. And I was 21 years old, started to pastor, and there were so many needs around the neighborhood and where we were at. And I was talking to people who were having marriage trouble and counseling young men who were trying to get out of the gangs and people that were struggling in one way or another. And I started to think people really need me and I can fix them. They would say, "Pastor, I need you. I need to talk to you." "Well, there's someone else." "No, I need to talk to you." Or, "I need to pray with you." "Not anybody else. I need to pray with you." And I started to think, yeah, they really need me. And kind of had the attitude, "God, I'm sure you're happy I'm on your team, right, God?" And you know, there's subtle spiritual pride that can set in. Subtle pride can set into our heart when we think that we can do more than what we can, that we're bigger than what we are, that we have more ability than what we have. And God has to humble us. And I was in that mode of feeling like I have to fix people, save people, heal people, change people. They really need me. God, I'm your vessel. And 6 months into the ministry, I remember waking up feeling very, very sick. I couldn't swallow. I couldn't eat. I had high fever. It wouldn't go away. It lasted for a long time. I got up to preach to those 20 people that were in the congregation. I am almost passed out. And I realized I felt very, very weak. Went to the doctor, and the doctor basically told me, "Listen, young man, you are on the verge of burnout here. Your body's exhausted. You need to rest. And it could be very dangerous if you don't rest." And I remember laying on that couch saying, "God, why did you allow me to go through this? People need me." And God sharply, through his word and the Holy Spirit, rebuking me. And the Lord showed me that I had been acting like a little Messiah. That I thought I could fix people, change people, heal people, save people. And he reminded me, "You're trying to do my work without my power. I'm the Savior, the healer, the changer. I'm the mighty God that does this. You can do nothing without me. It's my work, my power, my strength, my glory." And I remember laying on that couch, weeping before God, repenting before God, saying, God, I'm sorry that I've been so arrogant. Forgive me, God. I will never try to do your work in my own power. It was a powerful lesson that God taught me. And I got up from that bed of sickness with a determination, Lord, this is your work. You are the Savior. You're the healer. You're the powerful one. I can do nothing without you. This is about you. And if you're not in it, there is no change that would happen.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and his message called Breaking the Cycle of Pride. It's from his series entitled Allegiance, Kingdom Living in a Foreign Land. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.